I want to explore together this thing which you have, which is a problem. The problem is curiosity. That we began to speak perhaps about that last time, I don't remember that. But there is a thing which is called curiosity. Curiosity is a thing which we enchant, we hold that this is the biggest asset, and it is the biggest disaster, because curiosity has to do something with pizu ha-nefesh. And I want to show you that in the Mesidas Yoram itself. The Mesidas Yoram in the Hakdome says avoide is a question that you have to think about things which intrinsically you do not see any necessity to think about, because they look so simple. That's right. They are looking simple. There's no deep, there are no depths, there's a simple thing. But that's where avoida begins. That is what Mesidas Yoram says. So the Mesidas Yoram says with a whole big say, he says that in avoidas Hashem there is no place for curiosity. That's right, because you can't be curious about that, because there's nothing to be curious about that. That's the whole problem of the Mesidas Yoram, that he has a endeavor which curiosity will not take you there, because curiosity will take you to Chochmas and to dinim too, in Moshe Lakodesh, or you with Handose, or all these nice things that you can be curious about, because there are dakus and chidushim there which you see, they are glittering in the horizon, and that's what you want to go for. That's what you do when you don't go for avoida. The moment you go for avoida, you go for a thing which seemingly there's no necessity to think. That means that curiosity is not the thing which is the issue in avoidas Hashem. That's what it says. Yeah, there are things you can be curious about, but I think the tnuas hanefesh of curiosity is opposed to avoida. And when we remember what was once the selling tag of a yeshiva bocha, is that he went through reality, through the street, and he didn't lift up his head. He did not, and not because of Shmiras Einayim, only because he was osuk with something which he was into it, into the depth, and then he wasn't curious at all what's going on around him, at all, not curious at all. That was the selling tag of a yeshiva bocha. Today, the selling tag of a yeshiva bocha, of a good, cool yeshiva bocha, is that he knows everything. And what he knows more, and is more into it, and he's an open bocha, open-minded guy, and he is able to be very important. That's what it sounds like today. So this is a dangerous thing. You can't connect to Torah like this. Because the connection to Torah, the Mesidas Yoram says, is tafke, stems tafke from a place where you have to go deeper, where you don't see any necessity. Now, people do that once, and they think, I'm going deeper in tefillah. And what do? I'm going and I'm learning Maharals, and I learn Nefesh HaChaims, and I learn all this thing, all this stuff. That's all good and right. But avoida begins there when those things are simple and understood, and you already think there's no necessity to think further on that. There you begin to have avoida. There, at that point. Not beforehand. That's the Mesidas Yoram. So there's no question that this curiosity which is going on today takes us away from this deep connection to Torah. It takes away, and that's dangerous. It's a double-fold danger which is there, which that is tragic, because double-fold danger is that you think that the problem of the thing could be that's curiosity, it could be that is all different kind of, that's a problem. Another problem is also what you are curious about, because curiosity is revealing an affinity from your nefesh with the thing you are curious about. That's right, that's what curiosity does. And when you think what people are curious about, that's really Mitzimayash, really. Because then you see that people are curious about things which are rotten, which are wrong. They are curious about things which have entirely a wrong content. You in America there. I think one of the most popular television shows, which that shows where you are, is this show which goes about unsolved crimes, which you show on the television. Are you crazy to look at that? Do you find any affinity with you, with a Retzach or things like this? Why would you have a kick out of that looking? So that means that you have an affinity with that. That's very dangerous. You're curious about the thing which is rotten. That shows that you are rotten. That's what it shows. You are rotten. That's dangerous. So it's not only dangerous because you think, okay, Leuchter says, because I will be all, my attention will be taken from wrong things. It's not. It is when you have an affinity with rotten things and you are curious about that, then you can't be Mekayim Torah the way it has to be. You can't. That's a Rambam. A foolish Rambam. Because the Rambam says that you have to be Mekayim the Chukim in a way which shows that you are obligated to do them. That's the way you are Mekayim Chukim. But Mishpotim, you are Mekayim in a way where you say, naturally, I can't do it. It's naturally away from me. But when you are curious about rotten things, that means naturally you have an affinity with these rotten things. So why don't you do them? Yeah, because you are metzuve. You have a tzivui. But that means you are not mekayim Torah the way it has to be. Because you have to be mekayim Torah in the mishpotim in a way which you are naturally removed from that. Show me the guy which naturally hates to speak Lashon Hora. No, we all take that like a chok. We take it like, what shall I do? I am obligated not to speak Lashon Hora. But my mouth is bursting and my ears are popping out and my nose gets big and I just kimat platz that I have to get rid of that Lashon Hora. But what shall I do? I can't do it because the Boireulem was Geizer Olai and the Chofetz Chaim too. They're both Geizer Olai that I can't speak Lashon Hora. No, that has to be a natural thing that you are not wanting to say Lashon Hora. And that's not because I am a modern Orthodox, not because I'm not so Haredi. It's a Rambam. That means when you are curious about rotten things, then your Shaychus to Torah is gone. And it is in a qualitative way gone. It's not only because you are occupied with wrong things in your machshove, and that will be a tome, and the tome can't. No, it's not because of that. It's because you can't be mekayim the Torah the way it's given. The Torah is given as mishpotim. That means you have to work on that. That you are naturally not interested in that. I remember myself being invited by someone to go to Tussauds, you know, to the wax in London. So I went there. I have no kick out of that to look at all these goyim which are non-movable. No, that's not so much my cup of tea, but I did it. And then he said, let's go to the horror chamber. Then you go down and then you see all the terrible inuim these Nozrim did in the Middle Ages to the people, you know, terrible. And you see other things too, terrible, terrible, you see. And he took me there. Okay? So he took me there to the horror chamber, and I knew that this will be not good for me. I knew it, but because I was invited, I'm going, you know, I'm going to people. When you invite me, then I do normally what you tell me. So you told me to come to the horror chamber. I went there. I couldn't sleep for 2 days. Literally, I couldn't sleep. That was like strange, but people are interested in that. They enjoy it. You go there, you enjoy yourself. That's interesting. What is interesting about that? What is that interest? Today you have it in yeshivas even. In yeshivas that on the internet today, they are showing that, I don't know whether it's mutar or also, but they're showing how they get rid of a mechabel, you know? That you can see how they shoot the guy. And Bochi, when one Bochi has that on his machine or whatever way he has that on his phone or machine, then other Bochi say, oh, I want to see it too. Why do you want to see such things? Where do you find an affinity for killing a person? Are you crazy? Don't you see you are rotten inside? And your rottenness finds an affinity with that information? But when you have an affinity with that thing, then you can't really connect to Torah advice the way it has to be. What do you want now? You're standing before Shavuos and you have to be miskasher to Torah Agdoisho and be metaken the chait of the Klal Yisrael, which you were sleeping by night, and that's true that you are up all night, and unbelievable, this unbelievable aliyah I had, Lail Shavuos, from 12 o'clock till 4 o'clock in the morning, I was learning unbelievable, I was learning, you know. But you're a rotten guy. You can't connect to Torah like this. You can't be. You are not Mekayim Torah the way it has to be. You can't do that. But you are interested in. That's what you are interested in. And interested in words. And we are now here in Eretz Yisrael going through a very big crisis. From all the sides. So there are things in the Beis Medrash. Oh, it's like the biyuv in the middle of the Beis Medrash, you know. Oh, and people are interested. Well, really, did it? So now you think, Levi thinks that Lechter is afraid, and I have my brother on the phone over here. Lechter is afraid, yeah? I'm afraid of that, so that's why I can't see the horror chamber. So I was with my brother, he can't be made, that was true. I was my brother next to my mother when she died, you know. I wasn't afraid. That was the clue. I wasn't afraid of that. I'm not afraid being next to a dying person and helping him. I'm not afraid of that. But I can't see Achzorius and staring at it and enjoying it. Are you crazy? Are you insane? Why do you enjoy that thing? Why is the most popular video thing in a show in America, the unsolved crimes? Why is that like this? Are the people crazy? You know, I remember when I was sitting with my brother there and my mother passed away, then I had to go to the run to the to the rabbi to call him in order to make a levaya, and my brother remembers that. This summer we were standing there and we closed the eyes, and then I turned to my brother and said, my dear brother, I have to go to make a phone call. No, you can't go too, but I'm going to make a phone call now and you'll stay here. Don't be afraid. The mother won't move, not one movement. Yeah, she's dead, finished, you know, not moving. Don't be afraid of that. I don't know whether my brother remembers that. But that was, no, I'm not afraid. No, I'm afraid of these things. But are you rotten to enjoy to look at that? Are you crazy? That's what's going on today. And then we have a nice community of Nei Torah or of Haredi people, which they are about being connected to Torah, and you can't. You just can't. That's like a wrong thing. You can't connect to Torah. Huh? When you are not working on that, then really can't connect to Torah. So that's a big problem, my dear friends. Huh? That's a big problem. That's an unbelievable big problem. Which this whole internet thing is only enabling that. That's not only, that's a big thing, but it's enabling that. But I always thought that the problem is the internet. The problem is not the internet. It enables you, and it's a big problem that enables you that. But the actual problem is yourself. Because what is the affinity you find, and why are you so curious about all the things? What is that curiosity doing by you? Why do you want to know everything in the world? That was the quality, the selling tag of a yeshiva bocher, that you don't move your head, you know? You're just into what you learn. In Mir Yeshiva, I told you that once, in Mir Yeshiva, there was such a group of girls. Now, wanted to see the Bir Yeshiva, seeing what's going on, how is that going on there. So they asked Rabbi Yochum. So Rabbi Yochum said, you know, you may, the ones under age 9, I think, they were able to go in two and two, holding the hands, walking through the Bir Yeshiva. The others, they have to look at this from the outside, from the windows. So the Mechanechet, the Madricha, she was then afterwards living, after the war, she was living in Petah Tikva. And she was there, and she told over that she looked from the window, and this group of girls walked through the yeshiva. Not one bocher lifting up his head from the Gemara. They were all further on to the Gemara. So then you say, ah, they were so immersed in learning. That's the way the women will write that, you know. In these nice books you write about all these, and then you take down the whole learning from the Maizah. Then you say, they were so immersed in learning, they even didn't see that someone walks by. Idiot, they saw it. But it wasn't interesting. Where do I know from? Because Mashgiach was learning with Reb Herzpas. And he was learning Gemara. And suddenly Reb Herzpas says, there's a fire in town. We have to go to for fire extinction. So he asked him, where do you know from? He said, because over here next to us in the aisle, there was a bocher running. And over here you run only when there's a fire. So he saw it. But this was interesting. Then he decided to go. But the girls are not interesting. When I will take my nice little granddaughter to Mirr Shiva and just release it there, you know, walking through the aisles, the jihad would begin at the same moment, you know. Everyone would stare, everyone would turn the head. What are you turning the head? Are you crazy? What's that interesting for you? Aren't you involved in something which that takes the attention more, you know? You're involved in something. You have to decide to turn your head. Someone gave a nice smach from the Gemara when Hillel was sleeping on the roof. That's right. And then it was dark. And then they came in and it was dark. And then they said, the one said, is it cloudy outside today? And the other one said, no, there isn't cloudy outside today. So they said, oh, what's going on? And they lifted up their head and they saw Hillel on the window. Yeah, that was the Hillel with the snow. But you go into a room where you know that there's a window up there and it's dark. What do you know? You just lift up your head immediately. No, you have to decide about that. Yeah, first of all, if it's cloudy outside, then you don't lift up your head. You just go further on. It's cloudy. No, it's not cloudy. Oh, it's not cloudy. And it's dark. I saw something on the roof. Let's see. Now then they lifted up the head and they saw it. But without the shush, you don't turn your head. And you do not turn that thing. And by us, the whole geschmack of a bocher, the whole tank of a good and interesting bocher, is the one which is curious about everything, you know. A chevraman. He knows everything. He also knows how to learn. That's called knowing how to learn. You can't, because you can't connect deeply to the Torah, because this deep connection stands in the opposite direction than what it is your curiosity. Your curiosity is very dangerous. What do we do about that? So look. Okay, there are two problems over here. That's a big thing. These two problems, which how to deal with that. There are two problems. The first problem is the curiosity, and the second is what you are curious about, because that shows that you are rotten. So how to work on that rottenness can be only when you close the doors. You can't work on this rottenness when all the doors and windows are open and constantly things come in, you know, and then you want to work on yourself and you are sitting in a drowning and cycling boat, you know, in the middle of the highest waters, and you want to just, you balance your cup of tea in your hand, you know. You can't do that. It has to first calm down the whole thing, you know. So we have to find a way first how to calm down this urge for curiosity we have. You have to find a way. So the way, like, so you could say it is Menuchas HaNefesh, Big Maile, all these things, I don't know. But it could be that there is something there which we could work on. And the something there which we could work on is what is called Omol. Because just imagine, Omol, what means Omol? Omol means that you are measuring up with the resistance of the thing in front of you. That's what Omol means. For example, I want to make a violin, to build a violin. So I'll go, perhaps I'll even go to the wood, and I'll look at the tree when it grows, and I'll decide on that nice tree, that's the right tree for my violin. then I'll cut the wood, and I have now this piece of wood I have in front of me, and I have to cut it in a curved way. And when you know how a violin is built, so the bottom isn't straight, it's not like a guitar. The guitar is straight in the back, the violin isn't, the violin is curved. So you have to curve that. So you have to go and make, you know, you're making that smoother and smoother, and you curve it around. So this is called omol. Omol means that you are dealing with a thing, and you understand that where the wood is white, it's softer, and where the wood is darker, it's harder. So you have to go and be very careful. How do you meshafshef that? How do you do that in order that it should be really perfectly curved? You have to do that. This guy can't be curious about anything when he works. Nothing. No, because otherwise his nice violin is gone. Yeah? It's gone. You can't go and have an omol being omel on a piece of wood and think about other things. That doesn't go. Yeah? It just doesn't go. So that is what is omol about. That it is by a violin like this. It's nice at Sio, but it's everywhere, you know. We have over here our nice cousins which have built the buildings, and they are just with a Congo making a hole somewhere. That guy we spoke once about, that is a Kdosh Elyon, because the guy is just not thinking about anything else than what he does, you know. That's what he's doing. That is, and there's no Machshove Zora, there's no Hiro Aveira, there's nothing. It's only the work in front of him. Because that's what Omol means. And we, when we have Omol Meloche, the Gemara says, Odom Le Omol Yulot, perhaps Le Omol Meloche, no, it has to be Omol Pe. Yeah, perhaps Le Omol Siche, no, it has to be Omol Teire. That's the Gemara. Yeah? So, when the Gemara says, Odom Le Omol Yulot, means the way a person is built, is created, is that he is working on this resistance from what's in front of him. That's what it's called tikkun olam, or what you want, that he works with that resistance. Odom lo omol yulot. So now I want to use that, because that is our omol atere. We have to know that when there is a resistance in front of us, then we are measuring up with that resistance, and that's a part of our kedusha. So we always think omol atere means that we are so excited from Teira. That's the way the Americans, the frum Americans think. Omol atere means that you are so excited from Teira that you even work hard. No. Omol means very simple thing. You understand that the Teira is in front of you, and the problem in the Teira is it's your business. You have to move that wall. You have to get rid of that problem. You have to break that through. That's your omol atere. And we don't see that. We think that we have to find an answer perhaps in books or in other information. No. It is you. It's on your plate. That was always like this. That's even by the goyim or by those which are not in Teira. Omol is always that you know that the problem in front of you is your problem, and you have to push that wall through. You have to break that thing, and you have to break your head, and it's on you, because that will make that you are involved and not curious about anything else. At that moment you are not curious about anything else, because you are dealing with that resistance. Now I understand that the resistance in Ruchnis is more delicate than the resistance in the wood or on the Congo in the concrete. That's more delicate, I understand. But that's what Teira is about. What shall I do? You know, you can't have Shaykhs to Teira and say, but you know what? It's too delicate, the Omol HaTeira. This is too much Ruchnis inside, you know. I can't really measure up with that. So then, what shall I do? Then you go and be a constructor, you know. Then do your constructing work, because that's what I'm working with. But even by those which are not involved in Teira, those which are not involved in Teira, that's the same thing. When you look at Einstein, you know, he worked literally for 10 years on one equation. That was from 1905 till 1915, he developed the general relativity theory. And that was a big endeavor and a big mental breakthrough to understand physics like this, but it was also a very big difficulty about how to formulate this equation. And then it was a question whether Hilbert had it first, or he had it first, or Poincaré had it first. That was a question then. But in the end, for sure, the mental work Einstein did. But what did he do? He was curious about anything. Believe me, he was then not curious about anything in the world, over anything. He was writing and writing and writing and writing. And Weizsäcker, according to your nice measurement of what means a good person, Einstein was very much retarded, you know. He wasn't such an interesting person to speak with, because he was so narrow-minded and not curious about all the great world around him. He was 10 years focused on his problem. That's a very big flaw in his personality. Yeah? Do you see that you are a full-blown idiot? That you are a retarded person? Debile America, you know? Do you see that? The Biermenschen? Huh? No, it's not like this. It is not. It is a being involved in that learning. And now I do know how people learn today. You know, a lot of Bochum, you will enjoy that, Levi. A lot of Bochum and Jungelite, when you tell them Omol Atero, they say yes. What are they Omol on? They are Omol on their own Svore, because they had an Einfall in the morning and then they were learning the whole day. What were they mevarer? The Teusmes? No! They were mevarer whether this Svore is right or wrong. The West was Mirabobes Deige. That is interesting for me, like Dreimal mit der Bissel. I want to know Pshat in Teusmes, but this is gone. A Teusmes? Then I have to know another Teusmes too, too much. And when I have to know four Teusmes at once in my head, and to play around with that, that's like above my mental capacity. I can't. Too much resistance, you know. And then I'm only curious. And then I'm looking for a solution outside. And they'll open up the books, you know. You have a problem, Teusmes, then you look whether the best one is Schottenstein, you know. Perhaps Schottenstein says something, you know. And then no Schottenstein, and perhaps someone else. And then where's the Eutzera Chochme, and then more and more and more and more. And you walk out of you. You don't stay with you. That is the problem we have. Is it with the internet? And this is with ourselves, yeah? So that's the first thing. Good? Now, I have to go further on with that. That is the shiur now. It is, has for 30 minutes. It says, that's it. And I have to close now. And then there will be another shiur. I don't know whether you'll be there or not. I will be there in 5 minutes after my drink. Sei gesund. Ciao, ciao. I'm coming soon back, you know. Ciao, ciao.